Take a moment to think about this day and all the challenges it holds. Unknowns, uncertainty, where you're anxious. What problems do you face? What questions can't you answer? What weight do you carry? I know that I do. I know that I do. We are the fellowship of the withered hand. And then take a moment to ask yourself, how confident am I? How much confidence do I have? If you had to rate on a scale of 1 to 10, what's your level of confidence going into this day? I don't mean hyping yourself into a positive mood for a moment. I mean a settled, stable assurance in something that's deeply rooted that enables you to face this day with a deep sense of assurance. Ask another question along these lines. How confident do you think God wants you to be? Churches get weird about this sometimes. I know of a church that had a leader and he was actually quite successful, but had a real, a huge battle with anxiety, a deep sense of his own inadequacy. And people will often in the church mistake an inferiority complex with humility. So that question about God and the confidence that God wants for us is a real important one. And actually, as we look in the scriptures, we'll see today, God wants you to be very confident, extremely confident. However, there is a key element to Christian confidence that people often miss. And I want to get to that first. I got to read. We're going through Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Paul used that little word all over and over. He's pulling people together here. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Let's talk about that word confidence for a moment. Dallas Willard would say, sometimes it helps to take a familiar word in the Bible, replace it with another one. He said, faith is basically confidence. In fact, if you think about it, that little word confidence has right in the middle of it, that Latin word fi or fide, adeste fidelis, come all ye faithful. Confidence is to have place with, to have faith. But then the question is, What do I have faith in? And one form of confidence, it's the most familiar one in our world, is to have self-confidence. I believe in myself. I'm confident in my own abilities. You got this. And this is quite common in our day. I was thinking one of the great exemplars of this is an athlete you might have heard of, a quarterback named Joe Namath. And a long time ago, early in the history of Super Bowls, Joe Namath and the New York Jets were enormous underdogs, and he very brashly predicted, back in a time when people just didn't do this, we're going to win the game. And everybody laughed at him, and the Jets won the game. And Namath was glamorous. When he wrote his autobiography, the title was, I Can't Wait Until Tomorrow Because I Keep Getting Better Looking Every Day. And self-confidence will work for a while. We're often drawn to it. It often creates kind of charisma. These are the people that step up to the plate. They're winners. They look successful. Other people often want to follow them. But eventually, the self is not an adequate foundation for confidence. I don't know if you have looked at Joe Namath these days. He's 82 years old. He is not getting better looking every day. If he's going to find a reason to not be able to wait until tomorrow, it's going to have to be a new reason. And in fact, there's a deeper part to his own journey that God is very involved in. You might also know about him. About 20 years ago, 2003, he was being interviewed on the sidelines during a football game, and he was drunk. He had a big alcohol problem. He has written about this since. Alcohol, of course, increases your sense of self-confidence. And in that moment, because he thought that the reporter was an attractive woman, he actually said to her on camera, I'd like to kiss you. And that was deeply misguided self-confidence and created a an experience of deep shame for him, which eventually he came to understand as a blessing and a gift because it helped him get over his self-confidence. He knew he had a drinking problem. He said for 13 years he was kind of a dry drunk. He was relying on his self to stop drinking, white knuckling, and it was not working. And eventually he realized he needed help beyond himself. And so he asked for it. He said he prays that serenity prayer every day. He's actually named the temptation to self-confidence. He calls it Slick. Isn't that wonderful? And Slick says, come on, you can handle this. You can take a drink. You can do whatever. You can trust yourself. You don't need help. That's Slick. Have you named your tempter? Joe Namath did. And ultimately, that pain and those problems helped him to get over his self-confidence and led him to another kind of confidence. And that is God confidence. To have confidence in the kingdom of God, God's power and God's presence and God's availability and the reality of the spiritual. Now, the book of Philippians is written by the Apostle Paul. He had formerly been a very self-confident guy. He was very bright. He was very devoted. We'll read later on this book. He lists all the reasons that he had, humanly speaking, for being confident. And they were great. And he had to get rid of them all. He was on the road to Damascus, and he finally met God, and he realized he was a killer. He was persecuting the church. His heart was filled with pride and even hatred, and he thought he was doing great spiritually. And he was blinded, and it crushed him. And then he came to have confidence in God, in someone beyond himself, in Jesus. And he had a new orientation to serve this Jesus and to live now, not in the power of his self and his abilities and his agenda, but in the friendship and the sufficiency and the adequacy of God. And so he's writing to the church of Philippi. It's fascinating. The specific event that he's referencing, he's not just globally saying, you know, God will finish everything he starts, although, of course, God will. But specifically, he's talking about the project that the Philippians were the first ones to enter into a partnership. They were supporting him financially. Philippi is this little community in basically Greece. Paul had this vision of the man from Macedonia saying, come and help us. And he went, and Philippi is where it started. A woman named Lydia was converted there. We read about this in Acts. This was the first Christian in Europe. And of course, Europe was where Rome was, and Rome was kind of the center of the world in that day. And Paul thought it would be an amazing thing if the gospel could go there. And Philippi is where that all started. And Paul says, I am confident that he who began this good work in you, reaching Europe, and it happened. Imagine Europe without Jesus Christ, without Christendom, without St. Paul's or Notre Dame or the great universities, all the ways in which the West was, and Paul saw it, and he was confident that God had started it and that God was going to carry it through to completion. Now, God wants you and me in our problems, in our difficulties, to live with confidence, with a deep awareness of God's presence. I want to read you a couple of words from Jerry Hawthorne, who wrote this commentary that I'm walking through. Understand when I say this, Jerry Hawthorne is one who lived with a deep sense of anxiety and inadequacy. Every time that he got up to teach, he had to overcome the struggle with his own sense of inadequacy and bet the farm on the confidence of God. So these are words that he did not write lightly. Confidence permeates Philippians, he wrote, much like joy. Paul's fellow Christians are made confident by his imprisonment. Really? Uh-huh. And thus daringly preach the gospel without fear. Chapter 1, verse 14. Paul himself is confident that he will be released from prison. He is confident that he will continue to be around to stimulate the church at Philippi to joy in faith. Chapter 1, verse 25. But the basis for such confidence is the Lord. It is a confident certainty about life that does not find its locus in human abilities or achievements. It is not self-confidence. It finds its locus in the character and acts of God. Here, in verse 6, chapter 1, Paul is confident about the church of Philippi because he is confident in God who is at work in the church. One more question. When should you be confident? When you're having a good hair day? When your biorhythms are all synced up? When you slept really good the night before? When you got the promotions? When the kids got into Harvard? When the dog got into obedience school? Nope. This is what Paul writes. Again, so much that the scripture has to say about the invitation to live in confidence. He is running now to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, we are always confident. Now, when does that leave out? Do you think Paul was really serious about that, or is he just writing this stuff to, you know, create snappy little sayings? What would that be like for me and for you? See, that's the invitation. I'm not there yet. Maybe you're not there yet either, but I want to be there. I would like to be always confident. I would really like that. In the midst of my life right now today, that'd be a wonderful thing. But it will not happen through myself. Now, with God, it doesn't mean that I am passively confident in Him. No, no, no. So interesting. Dallas says, one of the signs of a lack of confidence is a failure to plan. Because when I'm confident with God, then I pray and I plan about the future. Therefore, we are always confident. And know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. Not, I look at how much money I got and how many contacts I have and how good my resume is, what the doctors say. No, we live by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord, so we make it our goal to please Him. That's the goal now. So, here's the invitation today. Whatever's going on in your life, that situation, your health, the economy, your job, your family, the person that you had committed yourself to says that they don't want to be a part of your life anymore, that's the invitation to say, we are always confident. I'm betting the farm on this. The confidence is not that this situation will turn out the way that I want to. Sometimes people make a mistake about that, and they think I'm supposed to be confident. I'm going to find the right person. I'm going to find the right job. I'm going to have great circumstances in my life. I'm going to have the kind of finish. No. That our confidence is aimed not at our situation, but at our transformation. Being confident of this, He who began a good work in you will carry it through to completion. When? Today? Nope. Tomorrow? Nope. Next week? Nope. On the day of Christ Jesus. On the day when God comes back and decides to finish, to complete, to redeem, to make whole what He began so long ago. And that day is coming, but it ain't here yet. It's not here yet. So don't you quit. Don't you give up. This is your day to shine.
Hey, thanks for checking us out here at Become New. Our hope for you and anybody who listens or watches these teachings is that they would help you to grow spiritually in character one day at a time in your real life and the situations that you face every day. And so we're curious what your takeaway from this video was, what you felt like God was speaking to your heart and your mind through the teaching. I know for me, I was just greatly encouraged to remember that what it is that God started in me, He is going to be faithful to complete it. And it's like the long game view. And I also felt like I needed to just be in prayer to ask God to help me live into every situation I'm in with His confidence and not being overly confident in myself or my skills or my abilities. And I know sometimes I can overcompensate for insecurity with confidence. So I'll be reflecting on that today. I'm curious what you're going to be reflecting on. And if you want to find out ways to connect with Become New, you can visit our website, becomenew.com, or check everything out in the show notes below. See you next time.